Now, children, today's lesson is on wires. Wires. W-I-R-E-S. Wires. Plural of wire. Now, you all know what a wire is, but in today's lesson, we're going to explicate details of wires, because throughout your life, you will be around wires, and they will be around you. In fact, you will be surrounded by them in a sense, and therefore a lesson on wires is appropriate at this age. So please sit in your seats and watch the screens carefully, no matter what city you may be in now. Wires are thick or thin, flexible or inflexible, carriers of one or another kind of thing, and that kind of thing, of course, as you know, is comprising electrons, which are mythological things which really don't exist, but which allow us to pretend that we as scientists know what's going on in our wires. Wires have been around a very long time. There was a time, in fact, ago, when wires were used not for carrying information in electrons, but rather for holding things up, or holding them together, or holding them apart. All of these options were possible with wires, and the same is true today when wires are carrying electrons. Now, what kinds of electrons doesn't matter. What matters is the encoding of the information in the electrons. Now, as you know, the transition which occurred approximately, around 1950, when people realized that zeros and ones were going to take over the world, and folks like our grandfathers went into caves and placed the information that I'm going to tell you now about wires, such that someday in the future, this information would be available to people of your age, and the age that is now, in the sense of era. Because, of course, wires otherwise will, bind you. Wires will bind you to a certain kind of life. And, as you know, the role of the cave people's carrying of things to the back of the caves was to preserve information about wires, which I'm conveying to you now. So, to continue with chapter 2 on wires, you will recall in chapter 1 on wires that we heard that wires can be thin or thick, flexible or inflexible, and carrying of various different kinds of things. Now, as electrons carry these things, and in the era when we became obsessed with zeros and ones to be carried, this was the beginning, as you know, of about approximately 150 years. This was in 1950, so it's 150 years after 1950 only, when this control, if you will, that wires had on the society and on the way of thinking of the society was broken. And it was only broken, of course, when it was realized that work that had been done approximately 1960, after, 10 years, you see, after this commitment to zeros and ones, when not everyone was committed to zeros and ones, this binary thing, this breaking of continuity, this disagreement with the smooth efficacy of biological interactions. This was just such a perversion of the nervous system that it took 150 years for people to realize that there was an alternate. And the alternate is begun. Understanding the alternate is begun by conveying to you now the information taken into the caves from our ancestors about the nature of wires. Chapter 3 of Wires. You will recall in Chapter 2 what was brought forth, I believe quite plausibly and clearly, I hope so, was the notion that one could look at modeling not just in terms of zeros and ones, which of course is what had been adopted in the wires from about the 1950s, but instead could reflect for a moment back on the continuity of living, of touching, of seeing, of smelling, and doing all these things at once in the presence of other human beings. Now, this kind of interaction, which one could crudely call 3D or 4D in terms of 3D and time and space and so on, that's again the kind of perversion, of the sort of perversion that wires do when you try to make things into zeros and ones, but of a different sort, rather in, well, let me get back to the point. In the 3D, 4D space of interacting between humans, the fundamental expressivity of that is consistent with the biological evolution that brought the DNA there and the manifestation of the ontological being as an individual. And as a consequence, wires, when carrying zeros and ones or a single dimension or anything other than the total experience being present with another human being, in all of these cases, the wires are constraining. And in fact, what they do is they remove, if you will, they suck away, they take out from possible a whole range of interaction and experience, which is never to be regained in that situation of that one dimensionality of one wire, the multidimensional multiple wires, and so forth. Chapter 4 of Wires. As you recall in Chapter 3, what we discussed was the nature of the kind of interactions that human beings engage in real space and the consistency of that interaction to the DNA, to the evolution, to what brought them there, to the co-evolution of the organisms and the species, and in fact not just the single organism and species with the environment, but all of the organisms and species with all the other organisms and species in a kind of ultimate co-evolution, in which all of the co-evolution is taking place simultaneously in this 3D, 4D space-time continuum. And into that you interject language. And the result, the consequence, the outcome, if you will, is something that wires are incapable of how can I be polite about this, conceiving. The wires are incapable of conceiving of this kind of interaction. And as a result, the lesson, in brief, is that we shouldn't use wires to connect people. Chapter 5 of Wires. So when the topological consequences of wires, as you know, I've been explaining in the first four chapters, when this topological constraint became obvious, and alternative modal logics, one might call them modal logics, came along to express in an information space that could be carried with electrons the same kinds of process interconnections that do occur in the 2D, 3D, 4D space of humans in the same room, or human in one's own mind, if you will, it's a notion of consciousness, or certainly awareness, one might say, some reserved consciousness for a different kind of person-to-person interaction, and awareness is a single person's interaction with one's own self, if you are defined as awareness. When the notions of awareness and consciousness were understood to be embodiable into a logic of modalities which could be contained, embodied, whatever you will, in not wires of a grid, but the wires of what is, I think was called it some time ago, it's called peer-to-peer, yes, peer-to-peer, as in we are peers, and we, things go back and forth between us. But there's no central thing, there's no grid, there's no sort of stuff where everything goes, and indeed there's no distinction between storage and computation, storage and calculation, if you will, execution of processes which produce things. Given all of the above, which I think you can recall, you can see how the transition could take place, in which we did in fact, of course, a terrible word, in practice, embody in systems that did contain electrons and did have wires, but which were of their own intelligent, aware, and conscious.